Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
And now, coming to you live from atop the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's the one, the only, Puckle Podcast.
Pokemon Underground Champions League, oh yeah.
Puckle!
Welcome to another episode of the Puckle Podcast. I'm your host, Trainer Thatch, and today we've got the wonderful, fluffiest Whimsicott.
Hail and well met.
And we've got Sublime Manic.
It's just another Manic Saturday.
Oh, that's true. Another Manic Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm waiting for it to warm up. I'm at the point in the winter where, like, I'm just over it.
You know what?
Yeah, I'm just
after
over it.
I had, like, a blizzard.
Yeah, I'm over it.
It has been warming up, so I feel you. Yeah,
I'm
it's
over
nice.
It. I'm over it, you know. But welcome to the Puckle Podcast. Puckle stands for the Pokemon Underground Champions League, a nonsensical name we came up with in 2007, where we talk everything Pokemon, from the trading card game to the video game to everything in between. The trading card game, apparently, to like most people's chagrin, they put up with me doing it. Yeah, they just put up with it because like I'm very energized by it. Like, it's a very cool thing. It's a new way to enjoy the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
It's a really wild good time. Wait, yeah. What? Oh, I had something. Oh, there's one comment I want to make because. Something that, like, I've been getting in, like, secret channel, like, channels that people usually don't use to communicate with us, like, YouTube comments and, like, iTunes reviews, and, like, the Spotify questions and answers or whatever. Somebody put, I think the funniest one was an iTunes review. Somebody goes, are you scared to talk about Pal World? And I wanted to take a minute at the beginning of the show to address this.
No.
It's not that I'm not scared.
Not.
It's just that. I feel like a lot of people who are like really like, oh man, this is the Pokemon killer, just haven't been around the block as often as we have, right?
Like Pokemon prints money. Like,
well, there's just one of those things where like when your brand, like there's brand power behind Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
There's brand power there that Pal World just doesn't have at the moment, at least, right?
Let me know when Pal World is big enough that they can arbitrarily make a claymation show for fun.
For funsies, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
Which isn't a diss on Pal World, but like, no one's worried.
Also, I don't know much about this, but my question is, let me know when Pal World wins the legal litigation over.
Oh, I think
the fact that it exists at all.
I'm not worried about the legal litigation. But I don't want to get into that anyway.
They step right up to the line, so you know.
I don't want to get into that anyway. I just want people to know that like it's not that I'm scared. That's not that I'm scared to talk about Pal World. It's that I don't care enough about Pal World to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You know what?
Like I'm
get
so
get your life, Pal World, but like we're not the Pal World Underground Champions League.
It's
yeah,
like,
right?
Remember Yo-Kai Watch?
Yeah, I do. I know that's exactly like I'm just remember
the
Yo-Kai
first
Watch.
Pokemon killer, right? Yeah. Okay.
Well, that wasn't even like the first Pokemon killer because like
no,
you can,
Digimon
can,
is the first.
Yeah,
Pokemon
Digimon,
killer.
Right? Yeah, exactly. We could just like roll all the way back, and it's just been one of these things that's popped up consistently. Like I welcome, honestly, if Pal World can see success in like the monster catching genre, I welcome it because any competition for Pokemon is good for us, right? At the end of the day, because it just means they're gonna make a. I mean, it's gonna push Game Freak to make a better game. Now, I don't think you'll see it in like the next release, but maybe in like two or three releases, they might, you know, take some inspiration from Pal World, or I don't say inspiration from Pal World,
influence.
I'm also kind of curious what happened, like. We're kind of like in this cycle, especially since like 2020, where a game becomes really hot for like a month, and that's all social media can talk about is that game.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just like disappears and dies. And I'm waiting. I'm honestly waiting like that month for Pal World, right? Like, is Pal World still relevant this time in March? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if it's not.
Mm-mm.
So it's one of those things that I'm kind of curious about. We'll see. We'll see how it shakes up. But yeah, I just wanted to like address that so people didn't think that like we were scared to talk about it. It's mostly just that I don't care enough to talk about it.
Yeah.
Like it's like a little blip on my radar for as much as I care. So yeah. But either way, I've been doing some fun stuff. We started the egg lock on stream this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm actually like pretty hyped by it. We got a really decent opening roster.
Yeah.
Sublime, you'll actually like this opening roster, I think.
Okay.
The opening roster we got for the Igloc was, we got a Hisuian Sneasel, which is pretty cool.
Love it.
That's actually pretty cool.
One of my favorites.
Cool.
One of my very favorites.
We got a Squirtle into that.
Classy.
Yeah. We did get Growlithe. I wish it would have been Hisuian Growlithe, but regular Growlithe's pretty good. I'll take it.
You know what? It's got no quad weaknesses. So
yeah,
no.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. What else do we get? Because like, there's one big. We got a Klefki, which is kind of a bummer.
Great type.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great type. Klefki.
It's kind of the original Tinkatuff, if you think about it.
Yeah, well, I think Klefki is the way you do that type combination because it is a really good type combination, right?
It's the best type combination.
Yeah,
it's bar none, the best type in Pokemon.
Yeah, like Fairy Steel is like fantastic, but
yeah,
but they did it in such a way that it's not like an overpowered Pokemon.
Yeah, that's what you do. You give it mediocre stats and a great ability. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how you handle it. But so that's four. I gave you four, right? So, the other one we got was a Hisuian Zorua, which is pretty sweet. I'll take that.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. That's a love a Hisuian Zorua.
And the star of the show for Sublime is Snivy.
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 I'm so glad he's back. He's back.
I know.
My baby's back.
I love also that, like, we're just missing, like, six Pokemon now. Like, it's ridiculous.
I feel like the woman from Titanic, like, it's been 100 and... it's been 100 years.
Well, it's the AZ Floette meme, right?
Yeah, very bad.
It's been 3,000 years. I feel that,
we're
though.
Back.
I feel
we're
that,
back.
Though.
Yeah, I mean, Totodile, too, right? So.
Well, Totodile technically made an appearance in BDSP, but I don't know how much that counts.
I don't know that anyone... Listen, if a bear, like, is in the woods, but no one sees it, you know?
I don't know. I last episode, I did, like, sing the praises of BDSP, and I do feel like it's not a terrible game. I just don't know that all of us are exactly the audience for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 15 years post-release. Well, now we're not 15 years, but at the time of release of BDSP, it had been 15 years since Diamond and Pearl came out.
See, yeah. The thing is, part of it is I have a bone to pick with Gen 4 sometimes about... decisions that were made. So a faithful recreation is like, great, you made something that wasn't perfect to begin with, so here it is again.
Yep. yep. No, I like they took it, they did, I think they did really well with what the source material was. And I don't know how much like Game Freak tied Ilka's hands as well during that whole production process.
Mm.
So I don't want to like give it too much crap because for what it is, it came out pretty okay. Like, honestly, like, 7.5 out of 10. I think BDSP came out fine.
There's not enough water, that's why.
There's not enough water for it. Yeah. Now, I mean, if they would have done changes, I think I would be like, this is a better game for me, right? But 7.5 for me, because, like, one, it's beautiful. Like, the battle backgrounds are fantastic. Everything looks good. Like, it's like the pinnacle of Gen 8 graphics. And not in the overworld.
Yeah.
But, like, in terms of, like, in battle. And then on top of that, like, they made the gym leaders much harder. And they were already, like, weird gym leader rosters to begin with in the original, source material. So, like, it is definitely, I think, one of the more challenging games. It also has, like, one of the hardest champion fights in the series still, so.
That's true.
Yeah.
In fact, might it be the hardest champion fight?
That's a good question. I guess it depends on, like, how you would talk about Kieran now, right? Would you call Kieran a champion?
I wouldn't.
Okay.
More of a DLC boss, but Gen 9 throws the word champion around pretty generously, also.
Pretty.
A lot.
Pretty loosely. They definitely devalued the word champion in Gen 5, or Gen 9.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody's a champion.
Yep.
Everyone's a champion. But yeah, I mean, I took up a lot of time here, guys. I apologize. Anything fun going on for you guys?
Well, speaking of hot games of the moment, this one has lasted a bit longer than a month. So I eventually fell into the... I can't even call it a rabbit hole. It's like a giant chasm that is Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, good luck. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Good
yeah,
luck getting yeah, out.
Yeah, yep, yeah, yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. I don't see the end of it anytime soon.
I had to buy my wife a brand new computer because of that game.
Wow.
Well, because she... I haven't built her a new computer in like 6 or 7 years. And even then, like, I was a poor grad student. So we didn't have, you know, the best hardware in it at the time.
Yeah.
And so, like, I walk in and, like, I'm watching her play it. And I go, how are you playing this game? Because it's going at, like, 10 frames a second. Right? Like, and I go, she's like, what do you mean? It's perfectly playable. I go, no, it's not. And so I had, like, an extra graphics card from another computer that was better than the one she had in her system. And so I went and swapped it out, and like the frame rate like improved dramatically.
Oh, I bet.
It still wasn't perfect, but it was better. Like in the state that she was playing it, I would not have played the game. Like I just wouldn't have. And then afterwards, it got to the point where it was like, okay, this is probably playable for me. And I like looked at it. I'm like, I gotta do better. So for Christmas, I just built her a whole new computer, so that it would actually just run properly. It's better than mine, which is saying something.
Wow.
Because like I do a lot of like video production and stuff like that for funsies.
Yep. No, I just have the one laptop. So.
Oh man.
Yep. But I mean, the processor is fine.
Yeah.
Graphics card is like it hits the minimum requirements, not the recommended ones. But it's decent enough. I'm okay with it.
As long as it's not like terrible frame like. The type of frame rates I'm talking about that like make the game unplayable for me is like version 1.0 of Scarlet and Violet when you get to the lake.
Yeah, okay. No,
they did fix that. They did fix that, thankfully, in Scarlet and Violet. But like those frame rates, like that's like game ender for me. Like I can't do it. Like this is, I did it for Scarlet and Violet just because I'm like, this isn't the whole game. Yeah. But I was just like, I'm like, I just gotta get through this lake part. Get this Titan over with and move on.
Yep.
How about you, Sublime? Anything fun going on?
Yeah. I am starting stand-up comedy classes, which feels correct.
Oh, what? Yeah. I'm so excited for you, actually. That sounds so fun.
I'm excited, yeah.
Yeah.
What I really want to do is I really want to do like an improv class.
I am also considering that. I don't know, like anyone that plays any type of tabletop gaming, I think is inherently more suited to improv because that's what so much of it is.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I just want to get better at it, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Well, this is a funny word to say because it's supposed to be improvised, but like it's practice.
Yeah, no, you're not wrong. Though. Yeah, you're not. No. I think there is a lot of practice in getting into the mindset and like.
Yeah, it's a lot of it is like becoming familiar with the people you're doing it with as well.
Becoming familiar with the people you're doing with and just like being comfortable being silly, if that makes sense, right?
Yes. You have to slowly like chip down at the walls in your brain.
Yeah. You have to get through those barriers. So, I mean, thankfully I've had however many years of this podcast, so that's helped a lot. I don't even count anymore. It's like my birthday now, right? I don't know how old I am. If somebody were to ask me right away, I have no idea what that number is. I had to sit and calculate it. I don't know. When did I start Puckle? 2007. That's it. December 31st, 2007. So we're just over 16 years now,
that's
I guess.
Over half. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yep. Wow. That's over half our lives.
It's about half my life. Don't talk to me about
Listen,
that.
Listen, I have kids now who were born after I graduated high school, and I'm not okay with it.
Oh. Yeah, oh, that hurts. Yeah. That hurts.
You guys need to change the subject right now.
I know. Well, you know what? Let's change the subject and we'll go head over to the news. So let's cue that epic music.
Coming to you Radio Tower. This just in.
Welcome to the news. In the news, there is not much because we're going to actually talk about Pokemon Unite today, which means we ran out of other things to talk about. Maridon's coming. That's cool, I guess. Granted, we've known about this for a while. I think Coridon's either in the game or is coming out as well. A bunch of Pokemon from Gen 8 are also on their way as well. Don't give me hints. A full battalion for Gen 8 that never sees retreat as an option, which is Phalanx, is coming. And an anime antagonist Pokemon from Gen 9. Probably Serulege, maybe? Or Corviknight, I don't know. I don't know the answers to these. I don't care. But yeah, more Pokemon coming to Pokemon Unite for the five people in our Discord server that play it. There you go, we talked about it.
That's all you need? Just the five?
That's true. No, it's like the perfect fair. Number of people that play it.
To be fair, like, yeah.
It's the perfect number of people to play in our Discord server, so... All right, well, I'll let you go on about Scarlet and Violet Sublime.
Yeah, everybody loves reruns. And the ice Terra type Empoleon is getting one this weekend.
Yay.
as the 7-star raid. Take Vaporeon, fire type Vaporeon, right? Yeah, that's the goat for that. In theory it isn't too scary, but the NPCs make it awful because it has Defiant, so
yeah.
Moonblaster, Shadow Ball, and next thing you know, Empoleon posting up. So, the long-expected patch has also released, and Scarlet players can craft Metal Sound, and Dragon Cheer is BGC legal.
Yay.
Woo.
They also stopped Wild Smeargle from transforming.
Oh, that's good.
Oh,
yeah.
Which patches the glitch. With
Oh, there were a ton of glitches. This one was really bad.
You don't say.
Yeah, I mean, I also don't know why this was so big, because like, I had to wait like the full 5 or 6 minutes to update it. When it came out on during stream and it was a pretty hefty update, actually, like in terms of size. So they fixed something else on the back end.
They did. I think the patch notes were like several other things were fixed.
Yes.
And they didn't go into details.
Yes.
Which you know,
yeah, they're just like, yeah, we fixed a lot of things. Well, there's a reason it was late, because this was supposed to be a mid-January update.
Yeah.
They did announce it was coming in mid-January, and it came out February 1st.
Yeah.
So, of course, it messed up a lot of things. But, yeah, I mean, it's nice that we can craft Metal Sound now in Scarlet, so that's cool.
Yeah.
They got rid of that Shieldon crafting materials. That's such a huge oversight. I don't even know how they did that.
Right?
Like, what a huge oversight.
It's a big one.
Like, that one's just like, there was just no QA on this, right? Like, step one in crafting materials for a TM, in my opinion, like, if I'm reviewing the game, I would just be like, okay, no version exclusive Pokemon can be used to craft materials. Like, we just can't do that. And then they didn't even add that
like
many TMs.
Had, like, 70 version exclusive Pokemon.
Yeah, I know.
So,
like, it just would have taken, like, one or two people to check and be like, oh, I can't do that. It's very obvious which game they used to test it, which is Violet.
Which is strange, because Scarlet always feels like the main version, and yet...
It really does, because, like...
I rebuke that.
No. A lot of the art, they, like, are always just wearing the orange. They're just wearing the orange in a lot of the art. It's very weird. I don't know. I think they kind of did a weird thing where they boxed themselves in making two different schools in the two different versions. They should have just made it one school.
Yeah.
And, you know, they could have both been, like... It could have still been, like... Oh, some of the people over here are orange, and some of the people over here are purple. It's very weird to have like it change between games. Like now playing Violet after playing Scarlet, it's very weird just seeing everybody in different color clothes.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, orange and Violet don't exactly look great together. So
they don't. They also I'm very. It's called Scarlet and Violet, and one of the academies is just orange.
Orange, yeah,
and not Scarlet. Like, what happened
really
there, guys?
It's like, I think they made Coridon before they made the Naranja Academy.
Absolutely.
Coridon is kind of Scarlet, you know. So.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's my guess.
No, I think Coridon matches the colors much better, for sure. I mean, they also did really well with Indigo Disc and Teal Mask. Those pretty much match up. I think Ogre Pond's a little bit more green than teal, but I'll accept it.
But the mask
is the teal mask.
The mask is teal, yeah. I guess you're right, yeah.
Yeah.
It just makes me go, man, I would love, you know, two more colors for the rainbow. It would just be so much fun when you get a full rainbow with two more DLC.
Well, let me ask you this. Would you rather have two more DLC or Gen 10?
This year, I would much rather have two more DLC.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
I'd much rather have two more DLC. Because
otherwise, Gen 10 is just going to drop, you know, with a lake that makes you go at 4 frames per second.
I don't think there's no world in which we get Gen 10 this year. There's just no world.
I hope that's the case.
I mean, let us
enjoy it, you know? Mm-hmm. Let's just enjoy what we got.
Following the pattern, like, it's just not happening, right? Like, Pokemon games at least get 3 years of development, unless you're talking about BDSP, but that's a whole other story. And we should be, we should be out of the woods, I would hope. My personal opinion is, like, they give us another year of DLC, and then we just, then it's the remake / Legends or whatever game they want to do. In like a perfect fantasy world, and then we get like 4 years of development for Gen 10, which also sets us up for the 30th anniversary.
Honestly, I would be fine with having a year in which we just get like remakes / Legends.
Yeah.
Because a year where it was Legends is fine with me.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
And a remake with Snivy. Yeah, I'm down with that.
I'm still a big proponent of. If we do a Legends game, it should get like a BDSP to go with it. I know most people are just they weren't impressed with BDSP, as we talked about, but I think having both it helps with the comparison. I don't know, like I appreciate Legends Arceus more because BDSP came out beforehand.
Yeah, you've said. I think for your argument, it's good that BDSP is a faithful remake. But in general, for me, that's a bad thing because we were used to having remakes that had additions
and innovations and
and BDSP didn't have any.
There's a reason Heart Gold, Soul Silver, and Oros are so beloved.
Yeah, I mean, okay, they gave us Pokemon in the Underground, which was cool, but like Oros Heart Gold, Soul Silver like integrated stuff from the third version.
I definitely agree with you that BDSP probably should have tried to include stuff from Platinum, and I don't think that would have ruined my experience playing or made any difference between the connection I made between that and Legends Arceus. I do think that now our expectations are managed better in terms of a remake coming out. If that is the case, like we know what happened with BDSP, and I don't think people are going to have expectations that are if they say faithful remake that. We're going to get something better than BDSP, right?
Well,
because a lot of the expectations,
raise the bar when you can lower it, you know?
I'm just saying a lot of the disappointment with BDSP also came with the fact that a lot of people were trying to hype it up when there was no evidence of them trying to do anything more. And so expectations don't have as far to drop this time if it does happen.
That's all I'm saying.
Expectations just can't drop as far.
I'm still going to be sad if we get a remake that is like BDSP because I still see the potential, but I will understand that that is how things work now.
How do you guys feel about a remake, a faithful remake, but not of BDSP, of Diamond and Pearl like we got, but a faithful remake of Heart Gold, Soul Silver?
That would be weird because it's a remake.
Do you get
of
to carry
remake?
Your Pokemon around? Maybe.
Of course you would. It would be almost exactly. It'd probably look exactly like BDSP, but Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
Gen 2 does still have the distinct advantage of being the only game that had two regions, like two full regions in it.
I think if you just did a faithful remake of that, it would just go very well.
We've had like 100, it feels like we've had like 100 Gen 1 remakes, so why not another Gen 2?
There was a very good comment in the Discord the other day, I believe by Boarky, where he mentioned he's a big fan of just getting all of the games that were done in dual screen remade into single screen. There's a distinct advantage, because one is going to increase playability in like future consoles as well. Like, if you think about, like, Virtual Console, I don't even know if Nintendo Switch Online is ever going to get to DS. Because I just don't I just don't know how you do that.
Need something like the Wii U to do that. And well, no one wants that.
So the Wii U Virtual Console did have DS on it. It was just done very oddly.
Yeah. No one wants that.
It didn't even utilize the gamepad, for the record. It was all on one screen. It was very weird.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Yeah, I think taking Diamond and Pearl and making them single screen was worthwhile. And I think somebody who's never played it before, this was a fine experience.
Yeah, sure. New Pokemon games are always a fun experience.
Yeah.
Considering there's probably a lot of people born after Gen 4 that played on it. You got your Gen 4 experience.
Yep.
I'm sorry you didn't get to play Platinum, but you got your Gen 4 experience.
I'm going to skip Poke Opinion because I feel like this is our Poke Opinion now. Did we get the Go stuff? Did we talk about...
No, we didn't, but it's very short.
Go for it.
This next Saturday, February 11th, in Go, there's going to be Hisuian the CDY Raids. That's Woo. It.
Yay. And then there's some small Puckle news. First of all, we still have the survey up. If we hit 150 reviews, we still haven't hit that number yet. Or fill out. It's in the description. It's on Twitter. It's everywhere. You can go ahead and... Datch is going to go ahead and give a Power Rangers lecture on stream, either about the history of Power Rangers or something adjacent. And I haven't decided. It'll be the start of Pruckle for Patreon, maybe. enough people have asked for it. It might happen. I feel like I could talk about it for like 30 or 40 minutes once a month.
Yes, you just did half of that before we started.
Yeah, I did really. So. I'm so sorry.
No, you don't apologize. I actually enjoyed that.
Yes, please go ahead and do that. Of course, UTC signups, our annual tournament for OU, are up on the Discord server as well. So go ahead and join that. Those are up until this Saturday. But that is going to be it for the news, guys. We're going to kick it on over to our trivia segment. So we're going to kick it on over to PokeQuiz to quiz your co-host on their insane Pokemon knowledge.
Oh, hi, and welcome to the PokeQuiz, the part of the show where we quiz our co-hosts on their insane Pokemon knowledge. I'm Mark from the Dunsparce Gang, here to explain the rules. Our fabulous co-hosts will work as a team to answer 5 Pokemon-themed trivia questions that fans have submitted on the Discord server. Each question is worth 1 point, with Pokedex and multiple answer questions worth more, for a total of 7 points. The host can use a free hint at any time. If they get all the answers correct and do not use the hint, they can cash it in for an 8th point.
Thank you for that introduction. We're going to start it off with our first question. Our first question this week is going to come from That Steve Kid. As of Generation 9, which type has not been used for any Pokemon with a regional form? Paradox and Convergent forms are not included.
Okay.
Okay. So are we including the original and their regional variants?
I think we're just including the regional variant. I don't know if that matters, to be honest with you.
Okay. So the newer versions only.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to say. I don't think it matters, but I will double check for you.
Mm-hmm.
But yes. Yeah. Think about it. Think about it in your mind with that information.
Got it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm counting them off on a piece of paper.
I'm writing them out, literally.
Exactly. Okay, let's confront our lists. So far, I am excluding electric, psychic, ice, fairy, fire, ghost, normal, fighting, grass, water, dark.
You're writing faster than me. I got normal, dark, poison, ground, water, grass, fighting, ghost, dragon, fairy, electric, psychic. Have there been any Steel-type regional variants?
Yes. Sandslash.
Yes, 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 yes. Which was also ice.
We have 15 so far.
Okay, what are the 3 types we haven't thought of? That's an easier question.
Exactly. I seem to be missing rock and...
Arcanine, so not rock.
Yeah, flying, no, because we have...
Braviary.
Braviary, exactly. And the very last type left should be bug, which I think is the answer.
Yeah. Come on, process of elimination.
Are you locking in bug?
Yes, I think so. I think.
Yeah.
That is correct. It is bug. Bug is the only one that has not been used yet. So you guys are 1-for-1.
Missed opportunity. I keep waiting for a bug dragon Yanmega.
Oh, man, that would be sweet, actually. I'm into it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our next question is going to come to you from Liger, what is the only Generation 1 Pokemon that does not appear in any regional Pokedex other than Kanto and Johto?
What?
A the regional only Generation Pokedex?
Yeah.
It I does was going to say Mewtwo, but it's in X and Y. Well, that was before
Well, that would count as a regional Pokedex because the Kalos regional Pokedex.
Yeah,
is a
exactly.
Pokedex.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
Well, how about Mew then? Would that count? Because technically, it's not in any original Pokedex because it's always been a mythical.
I'm not confirmed or deny.
It is a Gen 1 Pokemon. So it's Mew.
But
yeah.
Wait. So are we sure that it doesn't appear in any regional Pokedex?
Okay, so regional Pokedexes are supposed to be completable within the game.
Yeah. But
that's like a modern definition. I think that's true in the modern day and age, but maybe not so true in any other day and age.
Yeah, since you essentially now get it for free, might not be the answer we're looking for.
No, yeah, I mean, you can answer it. It is a Generation 1 Pokemon that has appeared in at least the Kanto Pokedex for sure, right?
Yeah.
It has a Pokedex number in Gen 1, right? So it has been in a Pokedex.
Yeah, but it also appears in...
What if it's Pikachu, could you imagine?
I don't remember if you get a Pokedex entry when you get the gift Mew in BDSP.
It's just
in the national
Dex
in BDSP.
It's just
a single
Pokemon,
right? Yeah, one single Pokemon.
Well, I can't
I'm
think.
Inclined to think it has to be Mew.
Because I'm thinking, like, the fact that it's a single Pokemon means it can't have an evolution line.
Exactly.
Which restricts the field a lot.
Drastically. Yeah.
I need an answer here, guys.
I think we gotta go with
guys.
Mew.
Yeah.
The answer is, in fact, Mew. Mew only has been in two Pokedexes. One is the Kanto Pokedex at number 151. And also Johto, and depending on the generation, its number changes, actually. In generation 2, it is number 250. And in generation 4, it is number 255. So I don't know what else is inside the Johto Pokedex to push it to number 255.
In Gen 4,
wait, did you say the Johto
imagine...
or the Sinnoh?
This is the Johto Pokedex in,
I thought
Johto
you had said
Pokedex.
BDSP.
The Johto Pokedex in Gen 4. It changes the
number. Okay, so Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
Yeah. I don't know.
Well,
where...
would have had the Gen 4, extra evolutions, like, Electivire.
Oh, yes. Yep. Nope, you're correct. That's what happened. They added in Mamoswine, Electivire,
yeah.
Magmortar,
Tangrowth, et cetera, you know.
It would be Tangrowth. They couldn't have added all of them in. Weavile doesn't make it in.
Oh, that's rotted.
Weavile
doesn't make it
in.
It's probably some of those.
Mamoswine
definitely made it in.
Tangrowth made it in. Licky Licky made it in. I'm looking this up because it's just like too good. Electivire did not make it in. Neither did Magmortar. Yeah.
Wow. Doing them dirty.
Wow. Oh, God. Yeah. So they just chose some like random Gen 4s to like throw into the Johto Pokedex.
Also, this is such an aside, but like, why have they not done anything for Jinx? Jinx used to be like, you know,
Because they're just dropping it because of like all of the history with
Haven't we changed it visually enough that we can give it something? Especially because they gave it Smoochum. Like,
yeah, I think we're probably at the time where all of that's kind of forgotten about, but Pokemon / Nintendo seems to like to let things go away. Like, one of the things that's a big example of this is like the TCG. This is the trivia segment, by the way. Is the TCG,
yes.
Where Kadabra didn't have a card until, like, 2023.
Yeah, we don't talk about Kadabra because of the lawsuit.
But they finally got away with that. They got around that, finally. So, like, it probably wasn't actually an issue, in the past, like, 20 years, honestly. But they just wanted to get away from that, which I think they're more than that might happen with Jinx eventually, right? Especially now that we're on a different anime as well, where it wasn't an issue.
Yeah.
So that might be something that happens.
30 years, but we are on a different anime, so that's true.
Yes. Yep. I think something like that might help out. We'll see. But either way, that is, you guys are 2 for 2. Your next question is your Pokedex entry question. This one is going to come to you from 2Crow48. Its Pokemon Sword entry reads, "Its cry leaves a lasting headache if heard for too long. It moves so quickly that it's almost invisible. Who's that Pokemon?"
Huh.
An invisible headache causing crier. Well, almost something, invisible.
Something, it sounds like a ghost, and there's a very fast ghost in Gen 8.
There sure is. But I don't think it's that.
No, because its Pokedex entries usually talk about its past.
Oh, I was thinking things that launch from other things' heads.
Yeah, exactly. and its Pokedex entries are usually about that or about its past when it was alive.
Yeah.
So I don't think it's
those.
That. Something else that has a cry.
See, the cry made me think Hatterene until you said it was so fast.
Yeah, Hatterene is slow. Something fast that maybe something like a steel type because it rings in your ears, or is very loud. Huh. So fast it's nearly invisible. Might also be... Oh, this is a really tough one.
Could you repeat
one.
The full Pokedex entry?
Absolutely. If you try to get close to it, oh, wait, this is the wrong
wait,
one.
Wait, this is
one.
The different
JK,
one.
That's
JK.
A different one. That was my other one. Sorry, my bad. Its cry leaves a lasting headache if heard for too long. It moves so quickly that it is almost invisible.
Are some beasts that, like, I'm also thinking about the buzzing of a bug.
Oh, what if it was like, Vikavolt? That's crazy. Why would that be Vikavolt's? No, I feel like that would not be what Vikavolt would do. But, you know, some bugs, like, you know, like, move so fast. Like,
Yeah. I was also thinking about Orbeetle.
Orbeetle is an interesting thought.
But I don't think it's a fast Pokemon.
But, like, I don't think fast in the Pokedex translates to the speed stat, necessarily.
That's true. It often doesn't. Like, they say Veluza is fast. It's not.
So. Right, they're like, oh, Pidgeot goes so fast. And I'm like,
yeah. Well, okay, we pick one of these answers.
Right. This is a hard one. We're going to need that second one, pretty sure.
Probably, yeah.
Well, we can guess first.
Sublime?
Oh, gosh. Maybe Orbital? No, he's not
one.
that. I don't know.
Oh, okay. What are you going with? I need an answer.
Let's just say Orbeetle so we can get the next dex entry.
Orbeetle is unfortunately incorrect. It is
you
not
don't
Orbeetle.
Say. All right.
This is going to be your next entry is going to be from. Oh my gosh, they're all the same Pokedex entry. I was trying to find you a better one than the second one I had, but I don't think there is a better one. All right. Mm. This one is from Pokemon Fire Red and Leaf Green.
Oh, okay. Ooh. That says a lot.
This Pokemon is so quick, it is said to be able to avoid any attack. It loves to feed on tree sap.
Oh, okay. See, that's much more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Still sounds like a bug.
It sounds like a bug. The Heracross. I was thinking
Ninjask.
Heracross, but it can't be.
Ninjask.
Yeah, it must be Ninjask.
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
Yes.
Ninjask is correct.
Yeah.
It is Ninjask. All right. Well, you guys are 3 for 3. Your next question is your multiple answer question. And this is going to come to you. Do you guys. I'll ask you. Let you guys pick. Do you guys want. A question about the Pokemon anime pre-Horizons, obviously, because it hasn't come out in the U.S. yet, so it doesn't exist. Do you want a question about stat boosting moves?
Okay.
Haven't seen the entire anime. I don't know that anyone has.
That's fair.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you want to go with the stat boosting moves?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. All right. This one is from Farmer Fox. There are 4 answers here. I only need 3. I'll give you a point for each. What are mm-hmm. the four moves that can drastically raise a Pokemon single stat by three stages or more at once?
Shell. No, wait, also, that's two, no, and, no, that's no. three, two and three.
A single stat
Tail by glow. Three stages.
Tail Glow's one.
Tail Glow is correct. You do have yeah. three strikes, by the way. Tail Glow is okay. one.
Belly Drum?
Belly Drum is two.
Yeah.
That's two.
And does acupuncture do that, or is
no,
it just two
No, it's
stages?
Two and then one.
Okay.
So drastic.
Let me think.
There are two more.
Ooh.
Whimsicott, you should know one of these. Cotton Guard.
Cotton Guard, you're right.
I remember that.
First stages.
Cotton Guard is correct. Yeah, that gives you the third Aww. One. The one you What's- guys didn't get, the fourth one is Fel Stinker.
Oh, yeah, but that requires Stinger. A KO, so I don't think of that as a yeah. stat boosting move.
And that's not
but
a
that's
stat
true.
Move.
You called yeah, it's
you
just,
if you succeed.
Okay, I did, but yeah, it's just any move that can do it. But yeah, I'll give it to you. Sure. It's fine. You guys got the points. We're good.
Thank you.
Speed boost after three turns.
Yeah. all right, so you guys are 6-4. Your next question is your base stat question, as always. And you're up for 8 if you get this correct. This one is going to come to you from Smeargle19. What starter Pokemon has the lowest base stat total?
Isn't it something like Meganium or...
Starter, so like the base form, I'm assuming.
The base form, yeah.
So it's going to be a base baby, form. You know.
Yeah. Well, are we only counting the starter Pokemon like... The classic fire, water, grass type of Pokemon.
I'm assuming so. Yeah, I'm assuming it's going to be one of them. Because, like, first of all, it bothers me that these aren't uniform generation to generation. Like, why are some starter Pokemon, like, higher stats
yeah,
than
right?
other? Like, it's obnoxious.
I am slightly upset that there is an answer to this. Like,
yeah, that bothers yes. me.
I don't like that there is an answer to this.
So,
what generation did they do dirty? I feel like it's 5, but I
no,
feel
I
strong.
Think it's, yeah, it's also, the starters in Gen 5 do have pretty low base stats, but I think if I remember correctly, I've heard about this, and it might be Turtwig, but I might be completely off the mark here. So if you want to use the hint, I'm fine with that.
I think
and
we should
if you
use
don't,
the
we can think
because,
about it for another image.
I don't know. It doesn't matter if we use the hint or not, but, like, I don't.
Because
I see no reason like, not to say Turtwig, like...
Mm-hmm. Because it's, you know...
It's
slow. But it's also, like, solid. So I might be, like, maybe I heard about Turtwig having, you know... Maybe it has the highest stat of
you
any
You use it all
base.
For 2 hours before it's evolved, like...
Yeah, I don't know. What do you want to do, Sublime?
Let's say Turtwig. I have no problem with that, unless you want to use the hint, which I also have no problem with.
Oh, gosh. I feel like I would like to use the hint, because going for possibly 7 is better than just throwing something out there, which
yeah.
I'm really not sure is correct.
So the hint I'm going to give you, because all of the starters, one, I'm going to just give you the giveaway that it's not a Gen 9 starter, because I'm going to give you a Pokedex entry from Scarlet and Violet, because all the starters are now in Scarlet and Violet.
Oh.
And they all have Pokedex entries now.
Oh.
So I'm going to give you a Scarlet and Violet entry for this Pokemon, and hopefully that helps you pick out which one you need. This Pokemon gets worked up easily. Its body can also overheat. So it
Fire
uses
type.
Its ears to dissipate the heat and calm down.
Fennekin.
Oh, it's Fennekin.
Ears, Fennekin.
Yep.
Fennekin is correct.
I can't believe they did it bad like that. I'm upset.
Okay, they didn't do it. They didn't do it like that bad. To be fair, it is 307. The next lowest is 308. Mm-hmm. But that's a 4-way tie between all the Gen 5 starters.
I knew they did them dirty.
All the Gen 5 starters and Chespin.
Wow. Everyone loves Froakie yeah. so much.
And then wow. at 309 is the next highest, and that's a tie between Charmander, Cyndaquil, and Chimchar.
So they made Froakie, like, Significantly better than Chespin and Fennekin. Wow.
I have to find Froakie's base stat total now, because like we're gonna be like, oh, it's so much better, but it's gonna be like 310 instead of 307, right? Like,
yeah, but like, why would you do that? Why?
I don't understand. I don't know.
You couldn't just toss a point into like HP or something.
Actually, oh my gosh, it's 314.
You see, that's like seven over.
But I think it's all speed.
That doesn't matter. That's still ridiculous.
It don't matter. That's. I'm outraged by this.
I actually agree with Sublime on this one. Like that's ridiculous and shouldn't.
They
have
really
happened.
Wanted to push Greninja from the start. I see how
Pokemon
it is.
Pokemon do better. But that does give
As
you guys
if water
7
wasn't
points.
Already like a much better type than fire or grass.
Yes, I know. They just did it dirty. Like
yeah.
All right. Oh, in first place now, we have Whimsicott with 15 points on our race to 40.
Yeah, yay.
In second place, we've got Claude with 14.
Yay.
In third place, Seth Vila with 8.
Good for you, Seth.
In a three-way tie for fourth place is Jushiro, Linian, and Sublime with 7.
I just heard three-way.
and in a tie for 7th, we've got Arch Sigma and Shark Finnegan with 6 points, and everybody else has yet to get on the board.
But they will.
With that note, I want to make it, like, I think next year I'm going to try to make it just whoever has the most points at the end of the year wins.
I think that's a great idea.
Oh.
That's what I'm going to do next year. Like, we're going to, like, there's going to be a hard reset, you know, December 31st. And next year it's just whoever has the most on December 31st wins trivia. But this year we're still doing a race to 40. All right. So, but on that note, guys, that is it for our trivia segment. If you want more next week, just tune on in. Until then, though, we're going to head it on over to the topic. We have another review from FatPat1988. It's Slaps. I began listening to the podcast back in Gen 5 right before X and Y released. At the time, it was okay. Fell out of Pokemon for a bit around Gen 7 and only recently came back. I came back to the podcast as well, and I have to say they have really grown into something spectacular. I thoroughly enjoy the structure and content of the show. At this point, in my opinion, it is easily one of the best Pokemon podcasts out there. Well, thank you, FatPat1988. And if you have a review, please drop it wherever you listen to the podcast. We really appreciate it. Helps people find the show. But until next time, let's move on to the topic.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to our topic. Our topic today is going to be a retrospective of Pokemon Legends Arceus. It just hit its anniversary a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
As of recording, we record on Saturdays for those of you who are unaware. So I apologize to those of you who send us emails on Saturday afternoon and they don't get on the show, because there were some like good ones that popped in last week. I was like, oh man, we probably would have read that one. So I felt really bad about it. Yeah, so we record. But this week, a lot of people were kind of like going over Pokemon Legends Arceus. And honestly, it was more people than normal, like looking back at a game that had recently come out. Than you normally see. I don't know, that's just because like this game kind of came out at a weird time in January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It opens up our time to be like, let's talk something Pokemon. Look, this game came out 2 years ago.
Yes.
I don't know. I still look very fondly at Legends Arceus, just because.
Me too.
Completely. Same. It was such a breath of fresh air.
I look back very fondly. It's such a good game. Like, it's a game that I'll actually replay occasionally just because the mechanics are so much fun to play.
Maybe this is a hot take. I don't like having to craft TMs in Gen 9, but I love crafting in Arceus.
I think it's just because it's slightly different.
It was better.
It's just because it doesn't feel as good to do, like, the let's go mechanic, right? I think that mechanic needs to be fine-tuned a little bit to make it feel better, so that your Pokemon comes out and just, like, starts KOing things. I think that it kind of has to just do with, in Scarlet and Violet, I'm talking about specifically, but...
Yeah.
I think if that let's go mechanic got tuned a little bit to feel better, because right now it feels a little clunky to me, because your Pokemon will go fight, like, a wild Pokemon, but it'll take 5 seconds to beat up a Pokemon. And the whole thing's a little clunky itself, too, in terms of getting your Pokemon to go fight the other Pokemon around it.
Sometimes you can't get it to go where you want if there's a bunch of Pokemon around.
Yeah, exactly. So I think if that were to get cleaned up, it wouldn't be as big of a deal. I mean, it's a different type of crafting, too, granted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was interesting because I preferred Arceus's crafting.
Yeah, well, I also think the items that you could craft with Arceus meant more.
Yes.
Right, like, you're crafting Pokeballs, which is, like, a main mechanic. TMs, I don't know that, like...
You have limited inventory space. Yeah, it was good.
I don't know that, like, TMs in Scarlet and Violet are as necessary to craft, more so than... I like that they found a solution to the infinite TM, type deal, where it's just, like, you can get infinite TMs, you just have to work for it a little bit.
Which, to me, doesn't make sense. Because, okay, it's slightly more immersive, but it just, like, if I am the kind of person who wants to have many competitively ready Pokemon, I'm going to be annoyed by this. And if I'm not the kind of person who wants to have many competitively ready Pokemon, I'm just not going to craft TMs at all. So what's the point?
I understand your point. From my perspective... So in terms of, like, building a competitive Pokemon, one, I don't think you have to do it just for competitive. I think, like, raids is a good way to build Pokemon, is a good reason to be build Pokemon, and there's a few other uses. There's a few other cases where you can do this. But I think, for me, I like that they're taking a stab at making the Pokemon building process somewhat engaging outside of just, like, oh, I collected this, let me hit the button and, like, give it a TM. Like, I have to think about it a little bit, right? And like, oh, I have to do this. Oh, let me go play in the game a little bit and go get this. It also comes down to my argument, or at least the argument that I think Pokemon wants people to have when it comes to genning Pokemon for their competitions. Because actually, even as recent as, like, last week at Liverpool, a bunch of people got DQ'd for gen mons again. Yeah.
I hate that. Like... It doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with skill. Like, why are we making arbitrary, like...
I don't entirely disagree. First of all, it's a Japanese company, so they have, like, a bunch of different ideas of what it means to, like, modify hardware and software. So, the Japanese side of the company probably really just hates that.
Sure. But it's a global brand at this point.
Yeah, but the Japanese side...
And it has been for so long.
The Japanese side of the company is running it, though. Like... More so than anywhere else. Like, everywhere else is mostly just, like, PR and translation.
Maybe that's a problem. I don't know.
But they really just want you to go play the game. Like, that's all they really want you to do is just go play the game. This is just another way they're trying to get you to go play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I think a better example of them trying to do this, because they've historically done this, in different ways, but I think the most recent example that's even more recent than, like, crafting TMs, where they want you just to, like, go play the game and use the features in the game that they spent time building, is the blueberry points in the DLC.
Yeah.
Mm.
They have you do a bunch of, like, I didn't use the Let's Go feature at all during my playthrough of Scarlet and Violet. I have used it exponentially more times in the Blueberry Academy to just, like, go get the BP.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
Because that'll be, like, one of the quests. So they've, like, historically done that. I mean, it's kind of in the same vein as how people are upset, like, you can't get Ursaluna in Scarlet and Violet. I'm upset, but probably for slightly different reasons than they are. They're upset because they have to go play a $60 game that doesn't have a competitive feature to compete in competitive Pokemon.
Yeah.
I'm upset because it doesn't make any sense.
If you're playing in competitive Pokemon,
That's my frustration is that they could just put the P block in Scarlet and Violet. We're done. Like that's my only frustration with it. But no. If you're
but Blood Moon Ursaluna is cool, but that's another story.
Yeah, the Blood Moon Ursaluna is cool. I just don't know why we can't get regular Ursaluna in the game. Like they, Kleavor is even more frustrating to me. But I don't want to go on this rant again. But
I feel like we should get Kleavor's the Kleavor. I should say Scyther rather is the new Meowth.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, no, Kleavor.
Like, give me a new one every time.
No, you know what's frustrating to me though is just that like Kleavor, like we can catch Kleavor now in Scarlet and Violet, but we can't evolve Scyther into Kleavor in Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, it's
like I can catch it, and even when you catch it or beat it in the game, it drops like the Scyther parts, so they're not even like treating.
It's very inconsistent.
Just give me the Black Augurite. Just give me the Black Augurite, guys. Just do it, please.
Especially since it's right there on the ground.
They also the Pokedex entries even allude to how it can be evolved in modern times.
Yeah,
I think is really fun and wild. So I hope that they could do something similar with some of the other Hisuian Pokemon. I'm hoping we get something like that in the future. I mean, because they did fix like Quillfish, so I'm hoping that we get this. But this isn't what this is about. Well, I guess to some extent, Hisuian Pokemon, right?
Yep.
I like this is part of the legacy of this game that upsets me, and I don't know that the legacy is the fault of the game because the game itself is great. With the exception of the battle mechanics are garbage.
Yeah, I don't love them.
I like that they gave it like a gimmick for a game with very different mechanics in general, so I don't mind it in Arceus at all.
I appreciate the attempt. Like I appreciate the effort, right? Like that they tried. That they were willing to take that risk.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just don't appreciate the execution. I don't think they took the risk, and I'm giving them the feedback that the risk kind of fell flat.
Yeah.
I will say it makes catching things easier.
No, you're exactly correct. I do agree with that. My only issue is
I would never want it in like a battle, like a competitive battle. But like, yeah.
Yeah. It's very unclear to me when we see it, like how turn order works, in all honesty, when we use it. I think one thing that would have definitely
a turn tracker,
even like a tutorial on how that works, right? Like just a little bit, if the speed stat is doubled or something like that, this is what happens. Just anything like that.
Mostly for me, it was like they made it too. I don't even know how to say it. It's very all or nothing.
Yes.
And I didn't like that very much because if it had been just a tiny bit more balanced, it would have still made the boss battles hard, but not, you know, frustrating.
Yeah, I do appreciate it because it made me at least pay attention to like the stat boosting stuff. That I probably, if it weren't for that battle system, I probably wouldn't have bothered, like, increasing their stats with stones or whatever, or the gravel in Legends Arceus.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, though, like, I mean, the battle system is, like, the one mark I have on that game that makes me go, not that fun. But everything else about the game is fantastic. Like, I think the world is done very well.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody posted on Twitter the other day, in, like, celebration of, like, 2-year anniversary. They just, like, put some of the art up, and man, that art looks so good.
Yes, it does.
I like that art. I'm like, man, this is so good, and I really love like the wide open plains and the fields. It just like Gen like 1 through 4 Pokemon has a certain aesthetic because it's just like supposed to be the Japanese countryside, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is very much I think before the style change really took place.
Yeah, it's just an aesthetic that I really love. And you know what's worse is like when I was in Japan back in October, I just like really took it in. And I'm like, wow, I didn't realize like how much of this is just Pokemon, like the scenery. Like a lot of the scenery I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, this is essentially just a Pokemon game. I thought it was like probably what's the word? Oh my gosh, it's sitting on the tip of my tongue, but I thought it was definitely exaggerated for Pokemon, right? Like, oh, it's idealized, it's exaggerated. But I mean, no, it's pretty much there. Like they like one for one that.
Okay, I see what you mean.
Yeah, I thought, well, you know, because, like, they'll idealize it or exaggerate something.
I mean, yeah, it's not like they're recreating literal Japan. It's like a game, but when you realize that sounds very interesting.
It's impressively close. So I was very impressed with, I mean, the aesthetic of Gen 1 through 4 Japan, or Pokemon, not Japan, but it is very distinct. And I really love, like, it, I don't know, it's just like, it's very peaceful and I love it. And it's, the areas were just very well done and very well crafted. I will also say I kind of like that they were areas as well and not just like one continuous world. I don't know, like, not everything needs to be like open world, right?
Mm-hmm.
I really appreciate that because it helps me compartmentalize a lot of the tasks I need to get done.
Yeah, it was it worked well for that game. Let's say that.
No, for sure.
Here's the thing. I don't feel like just because everything's not in one giant world that it's not open world. Like, I felt like the regions in Arceus were a great size to be able to explore and adventure. Yeah, like...
No, they were a perfect size. Honestly, I'll get...
And if you combine them all together, like, it's a big world. Like, just because you can't go from one to the other all at once, I'm like, that's fine. That doesn't bother me at all.
Which is actually very close to, like, it's very close to, like, original Pokemon, if you think about it that way, too. Because, I mean, like...
Yeah, and, like...
You're in Jubilife City, and you got, like, four exits out, right? You have to load the next route.
Mm-hmm.
It's not directly there. You have to choose which one you're going to go to. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it. I know some people at like the outset did.
I don't either.
I think the numbers are just like, or not the numbers, that's where I want to go next, but I just think that the game itself is done very, it's crafted very well outside of the battle system. Like, I love catching Pokemon. It feels good.
Yes, I love it too.
Oh god, it was like revelatory. Yeah, the first time you catch things.
It's one of those things,
like, the game just has to feel good, which is why I say following Pokemon, or the Let's Go feature in Scarlet and Violet, I think it could work. I just think they need to tune it to make it feel good.
I think Arceus was actually so good.
Great gameplay loop.
Like, it... I don't even know how to explain it. It's like it formed a core memory of playing.
Oh, yeah.
So much so that when we got to Scarlet and Violet, I kept mentally reaching for, I'm going to crouch in the grass and throw a Pokeball at this Pokemon to catch it.
I know.
That needs to happen next. Like, we need to fuse these concepts.
No, you're absolutely correct. I think that the game itself is just fantastic. I really hope that they use it as a template for something else in the future. Like, my fear about Legends Arceus, and I think I've said this before, is that it kind of like goes the way of Let's Go.
Mm.
Like, I am.
I feel like it was much better received.
I think that for the fan base, for sure. Like, I know that the Pokemon Company pays attention to the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely pay attention. They've stated as such as well in interviews that they do pay attention to the fandom.
Mm-hmm.
But the sales numbers are pretty close to Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee.
Yeah, and we can definitely tell which game took more effort. So if you balance the two things out, yeah.
I guess the question is whether or not how much they care about, like, brand.
Mm-hmm.
I also think Let's Go was like a flash in the pan because they're still trying to capitalize on the success of Pokemon Go.
I agree.
Pokemon Go's kind of dying now.
Yeah, and...
I didn't say it, Wyatt. I'm so sorry.
If it still makes money, you know.
So sorry.
I think in, like, the thing you have to do when looking at the numbers is you have to remember that Let's Go was the first Pokemon game on the Switch.
No. So, like, I don't think Let's Go... I think if a Let's Go got released now, it would not do nearly as well.
Exactly.
I mean, it would not do nearly as well. Right now, I think... this is March, actually. I don't have the latest numbers. I have the March 2023 numbers, which puts Legends of Arceus at 4.83 million copies. So it means it probably broke, like, 15, maybe even 16 by now.
Mm.
That's pretty good. That's slightly higher than Let's Go, actually.
Which had two versions.
So it got artificially... I don't know that at the end of the day the Pokemon Company cares about whether it has two versions or not, but I do think Legends Arceus... I think Legends Arceus was also kneecapped a little bit by a January release as well.
Yep.
Which, imagine...
And they have to know that when they're looking at the numbers.
Oh, yeah, no. Somebody has to be smarter than I am, and if I could figure that out, right...
And it's not just a January release. It's a January release like 2-3 months after another Pokemon game.
After another Pokemon game. Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
And the other thing that I think, if they are paying attention to the community, one thing that I noticed throughout the community or the reception to Legends Arceus is a lot of people who haven't played Pokemon in a very long time came back to Legends Arceus.
Mm.
I had seen a lot of that during the release. So,
well, I feel like it was so much wish fulfillment for what people wanted a Pokemon catching experience to be like. And I think it's very good at that.
And it's pretty good. Actually, it's very good at what it does. With the, like I said, with the exception of the battle mechanics, if they made like a game that used regular Pokemon battle mechanics and Legends Arceus type catching, I think
yes.
I think that would be a very good game. I mean, maybe you could find a way to do like an agile and strong type deal, but I do think that the way they did it is very good.
What I would like is if it was only in the game and not competitive, if that makes sense. Like, if you could only do them to catch wild Pokemon or something. Exactly.
Yeah, you can only have it in competitive.
Another thing about Legends Arceus that I have loved and has been, I feel like, expanded upon, especially with the DLC, is having relatives of characters appear.
Mm.
I feel like that's been a very fun thing that I feel like Arceus kind of started.
Yeah, no, they definitely... I do like that we also get... I like that they didn't do it for a new region per se, right? I like that. Well, one, they did a really cool thing where they made up regionals, which I think is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
To have Pokemon that existed in the past. Now, if they could just make it like get out of their heads about their own internal lore and just let me have those Pokemon if you're going to put them in my game.
I mean, listen, if we can revive fossils.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we can revive fossil Pokemon, there's no excuse.
I should be able to find a peep block. That's all I'm saying. I should be able to find a peep block. And if Ursa rings around, I should be able to find a peep block, guys. If it can hold Eviolite, it should be able to evolve.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it's very cool. I do really appreciate the way they handled it. I don't feel as bad about like the Pokemon thing, especially with the way that they're handling home, where like everything can go back and forth, even between generations.
Mm.
Like that fixes a lot of issues I had with Dexit. Not all of them, granted, but like it fixes a lot of issues I had with Dexit. The fact that things can go back and forth. So kudos to them for that. I do think the game is just a good time, though. And I'm hoping that we get something like that in the future to like revisit another region and get to see tell a cool story. Like they told a really cool story.
Yeah, absolutely. A great story.
And that was
a good story.
Yeah. And that was like this game was surprising in several different ways.
Yeah.
And one of them was the story.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't expect it to have such a deep story, especially because you start it and it's seemingly basic, and then you go through all of the main part of the game and you think, oh, okay, I'm almost done because I've almost completed my Pokedex, so there's probably like a tiny bit of story at the end to wrap this. No, the story begins at the end, essentially. And that was such a pleasant surprise. Okay, it's not paced terribly well, but it was a very pleasant surprise.
The Pokemon's been very good about story in general.
I also love what they do. I mean, the stories have been getting better for sure in more recent years. I also love how you get to see the city grow over time. I think that's really smart. And I would love to have seen something like that at the academy or something. Like, have like a home base that you can grow or develop or see change over the course of the game.
So I also wonder with this, the way that they crafted, I don't want to say the way the game went and how it was received so well. I wonder if Game Freak is also like intentionally building up like old lore for some regions. Like if you look at Paldea, for instance, like it feels like a lot of the lore in Paldea is just like being set up just so they can do a Legends game at some point.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it feels very heavy handed. Like 800 years ago, we had a king. We had a kingdom.
That's true. Yeah.
Yep.
And he got the ruinous treasures. And all of this past lore. Heath went down into Area Zero 100 and some years ago and investigated Area Zero. And so a theory I've been seeing float around a little bit recently. And this is like, I don't know. I've been like deep diving like theories about what's happening because I have no idea what they're going to announce on Pokemon Day, in all honesty. Like, I can't, like, everybody's like Gen 5 remakes. I just don't know how well you could do that.
Me too. Me too.
One, that's also a basic response, and Pokemon, as of late, hasn't liked being basic. I'm gonna be honest with you.
Mm-mm-mm.
Listen, be that as it may, I think they are gonna remake all of the DS games, and that includes Gen 5, and that includes Gen 5, yeah.
I hope that includes Black and White too, because I don't know how I would live.
Yeah, I would love to see how they handle that, very much so. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I really want to know, but I'm wondering if, like, there's a chance that even, like, soon we could see, like, a Legends Paldea or something like that.
Hmm.
Because, like, some of the things that are just, like, unanswered are just like, okay, well, like, Coridon and Maridon do look like a Cyclizar. Why is that? Why did Heath go down there with a Cyclizar? Why did he go down? Why is that a note? Why is that there? And I would love to see, like, a thing where, like, Heath creates, like, the first Coridon or Maridon.
Hmm.
I don't know. Like, I wonder if they're just, like, setting it up so that they could do Legends-types games with the current generation. Granted, I think it's more fun to go back to older regions. Like, Legends Johto.
Yeah, I was about to say.
Like, I think it's a really cool way to like, go.
Legends breathes Sinnoh, yeah.
Like, we were just talking about earlier about how that we didn't really like the faithful remake aspect of Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl because they didn't add anything. But what if we considered that, like, the additions that were made to BDSP were just Legends Arceus, right? Like,
sorry. That's a different thing.
What? Yeah, I'm not quite sure I get your...
I think in terms of development, it's not, right? Like, in terms of the work, the effort that they have to put in.
But it's a different company.
It is to an extent, but you have to realize, like, you think Game Freak isn't, like, look, or I shouldn't say Game Freak, you think Junichi Masuda isn't looking over Ilka's shoulder? Like,
no, I think Game Freak, essentially, I think Game Freak gave Ilka the script, and Ilka made, like, built the blocks, absolutely, but...
I also don't think they gave Ilka enough time to properly parse everything. In all honesty,
also fair
because they didn't, like, typical Pokemon games, including like HeartGold, SoulSilver, Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire, did have like a full 3 years of development, like a normal Pokemon game. In the case of Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, it was not 3 years. It was a year and a half. Which is half the time, like, hey, and so, like, all they're doing is they're going to take the Gen 4 game and, like, plop a new GUI on top. And that is exactly what happened. I mean, we got Mew and Jirachi freebies, so that's kind of cool. I'll take that.
Yes.
I'll take that. Like, demythicalize all the mythicals, please.
Literally. Mythics shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Speaking of that, by the way, in terms of, like, a Legends game or even just, like, more Paldea content to come, potentially... There is, like, in the Scarlet and Violet book, there is just, like, a picture of a gorilla Pokemon that's just never seen in the game.
Mm.
There might just be more to come, like, in some form or another. I mean, it could just be, like, as dumb as, like, a Zaru drop, which I think is a little hollow after Petrarunt, but it's definitely possible that there's more to come on the Paldea front. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, Legends Paldea is something, like, in our future, though I would much rather have it be, like, Legends Unova or Legends Johto, even Legends Hoenn.
Yeah, and then have Legends Paldea in a couple of years.
I'm worried that people are less hot on Legends Unova because of the Indigo Disc. I feel like that's the future. Let's go to the past, you know? Give it both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think you're entirely wrong. I think the Indigo Disc was a lot more Unova love.
Yeah, but I'd like to think of that as a precursor of things to come. And if people don't like that, too bad.
Potentially. I wouldn't be surprised if we got that because they were just like, oh, we're developing these areas anyway. Let's just, like, double dip.
I don't know. Like,
I mean, BDSP and Arceus came out around similar times, so, like, I see it as a precursor.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, no. I would hope that any, like, vanilla faithful remake is accompanied by a Legends game in the future. Like, I think
yeah. The
BDSP Legends Arceus model is very good, very easy for everyone involved.
Mm-hmm.
Because, one, it gives old fans an old game that they probably didn't have access to. Because how much does it cost to buy a copy of Pokemon Black or White right now?
Yeah.
Let me look this up, because like Pokemon Black on eBay right now, if I were to buy the cartridge, is probably well, this one says $249, but like that's probably not true. That's sealed.
Mm-hmm.
But like if I wanted to buy a copy of Pokemon White right now on eBay, it's looking like around $70-ish for like an original copy is what I'm looking for. And that's just cartridge only and everything. So, I mean, giving somebody the chance to buy it on new hardware for that price, I think is worthwhile, as well as like a Legends game to go along with it. A Legends game for like us, right?
Exactly. I think you could argue actually that if you wanted to do a Legends game, the two best regions, like the ones that already pretty much have a plot set up, are Johto and Unova.
Okay, so if we want to go through every generation, I think almost every generation except for Gen 3 and Gen 1 are probably decent candidates. Gen 7, maybe not so much. In Gen 2, you are obviously have like a bunch of just historical stuff you can do, especially centered around Ecruteak City, which I think...
Ruins of Alf, what's the story?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I think you've just, like, you could pull off the same thing with Ecruteak City that you did with Jubilife City. Like, you just do it.
Yeah.
And then you could, at Generation 4, we just did. Generation 3, there's not, like, a lot of historical stuff that's in there. Gen 5, yeah, obviously, we got, like, the story of the original dragon. I think, honestly, that one's probably shallower, but I think they could build something and make it cool.
It's so set up for it. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've also got, Gen 6, I mean, you've got, like, the whole Pokemon War 3,000 years ago, right?
The thing with Gen 6 is that you know the story in detail, whereas the one, because you actually have a person who was there. Like, you know the story is exactly what you've been told because you have a witness right there. You have AZ. Instead, in Johto and Unova, it's Legend, so you have a far bigger playground.
I still think you can pull it off with AZ. I think you can still pull it off.
You absolutely can, and I would actually love that. But I think in general, you have a lot more potential in Gen 2 and 5.
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. The other one that, Gen 8, I think you could probably do something too with like the Darkest Day again, and then like give us like an actual good story in Galar.
It deserves at least one good story.
Yep.
That game feels like such a fever dream to me, like looking back on it.
Yeah, it's so...
Especially after, it's obviously like the awkward transition that Pokemon had to go through. Like, that's what Gen 8 looks like to me. It's just like the awkward transition.
It has so much potential, and it was so close, but it didn't quite make it.
It's like it tried to make a jump across a canyon, and it just missed making the landing, and it just dropped into the bottom of it. Like, that's how it feels to me.
Some parts are really, really great. It's just that...
The middle stage of a Pokemon, of a starter line?
Exactly.
As a game.
Yeah, it was definitely a lot of growing pains evidenced in Sword and Shield.
Yes.
Like, you can see them, like, growing out of it as well, like, in the DLC.
It's like when you read a story that is a good story, but is told by a not great author, and so it doesn't give you the kick that it should give you.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I mean, they're fine. They're still Pokemon games, so they're still good games, but...
Yeah, absolutely. But they were so close to being so much better.
I didn't mention the cost of a copy of Pokemon White being $70. I would like to point out that a copy of HeartGold and SoulSilver goes for far more.
What is it? 110, 125?
It's about 110, 125 now.
Yeah, figured.
So just throwing that out there for everybody, that one's more expensive, and that could be, we could remake a remake, which we kind of did with Let's Go.
But should we have?
No. Well, we shouldn't have done Let's Go. I think if you would have gotten a BDSP version of Kanto in the place of Let's Go, it would have done just as well. That is my personal opinion. I think the Let's Go catching mechanic was unnecessary. I think Meltan was unnecessary.
Yeah.
Hopefully one day I can evolve my Meltan in a Pokemon game that is not Pokemon Go. I think that's going to have to happen soon. Sooner rather than later.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to stop pushing as hard on Pokemon Go. They kind of already have, but we'll see. But yeah, I don't know if I have much else to go on. Like, Legends Arceus is a great game, and it's a great... I hope they just don't drop it. Like, I really hope they don't drop it.
Yeah, same.
I want to see another Legends game. Please let me see another Legends game. If it's not this year, maybe next year. I'll be so hyped, though, on Pokemon Day. I'm actually really tempted to take Pokemon Day off.
Ooh, wow.
Right? I typically won't do this kind of stuff. I'm tempted to do it just to, like, react to it live and just be, like, super hype about it. But I guess we'll see. We shall see. I don't know. Do you guys have any final thoughts or anything I didn't get out or you didn't get out or I talked over you or something?
I want another one.
No, I just agree with you.
Yeah. Give us another one, Game Freak. So on that note, though, guys, we're going to wrap up the topic and we are going to go ahead and kick it on over to the Pokemon of the episode. Catch you on the flip flop.
Poke of the episode.
Welcome to our Pokemon of the episode. Our Pokemon of the episode this week is National Dex number 157, Typhlosion, the Ghost Flame Pokemon.
Its Pokemon Legends Arceus entry for Hisuian Typhlosion says, set to purify lost forsaken souls with its flames and guide them to the afterlife. I believe its form has been influenced by the energy of the sacred mountain towering at Hisui's center.
I'm just glad they changed its stats to not be Charizard.
Yeah.
It's yes. No longer Diet Charizard.
Yeah. I mean, it gave it something different.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. They actually, like, divvied up the stats pretty well on Hisuian Typhlosion. I'm actually... That's pretty cool.
It's solid, and I like the lore behind it.
Yeah.
Because what they did is they took a tiny bit of HP, because it's a ghost,
mm-hmm.
and a tiny bit of speed, because it's more laid back than regular Typhlosion, and they put it in special attack.
Yeah.
Because it does get angry, it goes all out. And I like that.
I was honestly, like, very shocked in general that they actually touched the starters and gave them Hisuian forms. I did not expect that, because if you look at the rest of the starters, none of the others have regional forms, right?
Yeah.
I am very shocked by that.
I remember talking about this, and I was on your side. Like, it was like, there's no way they touched just one starter out right? of a trio.
Right.
And instead they did.
I mean, Charizard got two Megas. Like, they give certain starters more than others, so...
Megas, I think, are also slightly different than regional forms.
I don't disagree, but I do feel like they are willing to... obviously, the Pokemon Company is more than willing to experiment.
Regional forms aren't tied to a mechanic, right? Because this is, like, the one thing that they've let transcend multiple generations now.
Mm-hmm.
And more than two, by that I mean. Like, it's gone through three. Granted, we only got, like, two regional forms in Gen 9, which is probably fine. Granted, Gen 9's not over, right? A bulk of the regional forms did come through, like, Hisui in Gen 8. So I wouldn't be surprised if, like, we got another Legends game and they gave us just more regionals. I do honestly think they're going to give us more convergent species if instead.
Oh.
No, I think it's their way of making a regional, but not making them have to put it in the same game as every other as the Pokemon when it comes in. Kind of like a way to, like, ditch it like Megas.
Yeah. Also a different Pokedex number, so it pads out the Pokedex.
Yeah. I 100% believe that, like, the Wigglet existence is there so that if Diglett's in a game, Wigglet doesn't have to be there as well.
Yeah.
Like a Alolan Diglett shows up every time.
Yeah.
Or at least in the game code, right? I think it's just a way to do that. But I think regional forms are just way cooler, especially regional evolutions like this.
Yes.
I mean, I know Whimsicott's favorite is Sicilian Typhlosion. What's your favorite of, like, the three we got in Legends Arceus Sublime?
I want to say Samurott.
They made it not awful, so...
Yeah. Part of it is that I hated that...
I don't know that I disagree.
Samurott and my boy Superior are monotypes. So I like that they gave it something different. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we got to hope the next Legends game has a Snivy in it.
Yeah, Snivy Dragon. Dragon Snivy. We can fix it all. We're waiting.
I think if we did another Legends game, well, especially if it's in Unova, like, there's no Gen 5 starters in that.
No, that's true. But there would be a Snivy in it. It'd just be in the wild, you know? The way they did Turtwig and such. It's fine. Honestly, that would be fine.
Panzap's going to be there too. It's fine.
Panzap. Panfrost.
Do you think we're actually going to get a Legends Unova game, considering that they, like, did a whole genie thing, too, in Legends Arceus?
Yes, I sincerely do, eventually.
I don't think, like, Legends Unova is next, just because of, like, there's been, like, a lot of Gen 5 stuff.
Well, I think that's a precursor. I think that's a harbinger of things to come. But it'll happen eventually, you know, maybe not in a decade, maybe tomorrow.
It would be hilarious if they did it and Enamorous was in it, and Enamorous is only kept to Legends games forever and always.
Honestly, I think people wouldn't be mad about that, based on how people received it.
I think they're already mad about it a little bit, but that's okay.
Exactly. That's why they're like, well, if they're already mad, I don't think they'd be mad if it was relegated to Legends games.
Yeah, I think it's just really funny.
I love to be on the hate train. I actually really like Enamorous.
Me too.
I have no problems with it. It hasn't offended me.
Yeah.
It hasn't offended me. But
yeah, so I love liking things that people hate, and I'm like, keep hating.
But yeah, Hisui and Typhlosion is the Pokemon of the episode.
Yeah.
I mean, I like all three of the starter regional evolutions. I think they all kind of hit.
Agree.
Like, all three of the Hisuian evolutions for the starters are just, they do well. They are fine. Hisuian Typhlosion is, like, different enough and cool enough. And being a fire ghost type is kind of cool. It's not as cool as it used to be, but...
I mean, it's a cool type. It's a cool type.
It gets its own move, too, which is kind of cool. Like, it gets Infernal Parade.
It's a pretty good move, too.
Yeah, Infernal Parade, it's not bad. 30% chance of leaving a burn. Which is pretty good. It's essentially scald chances on a ghost type move.
Lava plume, yeah.
But it's also hex.
Yeah, it's also hex,
it's
yeah.
It's hex scald. Scald hex, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I love.
Yeah, it's great. So, some places you can play with Typhlosion. One, it's in the RU tier, so sorry, not sorry, I guess.
I mean, hey, RU is a tier. It's not like it's in PU or NU, you know?
Or ZU.
Right.
RU is a real tier. Ghost Fire is a decent type. And I didn't realize it has, like, base 95 speed, which is actually pretty good.
Yep.
It's not a bad speed tier, actually. A couple ways you can run it. First of all, Heavy Duty Boots, because it's a fire type, and Stealth Rocks are a thing.
A thing, yeah.
Yeah, so, also, its hidden ability is Frisk, by the way, which I think is cool and interesting. Like, it's weird that it gets it. And to be fair, like, Blaze is only an okay ability.
Yeah.
I mean, information is always valuable.
I'm all for that. And so if you just run it with a speed boosting nature, like Timid, you can get away with a bunch of stuff if you run, like, max attack, max speed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it gets access to fire type moves, so you run heavy duty boots. You could maybe even see, like, a choice scarf set.
Yeah.
And just click eruption.
Yes.
You could probably do that. If you're doing that, I would just run regular Typhlosion. I'm going to be honest with you. Just run regular Typhlosion. You get a little bit more speed out of it.
It depends, I guess, if you also, I don't know, need a spin blocker and you don't have another one. But that's very niche.
It's fine. It's fine. But yeah, you get access to, like, Fire Blast or Flamethrower. You can run Will-O-Wisp if you want to, like, really bank on Infernal Parade. This is for, like, not Choice Scarf.
Mm-mm.
And then you can play Infernal Parade. I mean, base 60, ghost type move. I mean, it's base 90 with stab.
Before doubling, you know, so.
Yeah, and then you could double it, and so it's 180 with stab. But you can even just get the burn off the Infernal Parade. And then you've got a flex spot there. You could throw, like, Shadow Ball or even Focus Blast in. It gets access to Focus Blast because it can.
Yep.
So, yeah, that sounds like a good time. I mean, we're essentially running regular Typhlosion, but with Infernal Parade.
Yeah.
Regular Typhlosion, you can just, like, slap a Choice Scarf on and just click Eruption.
It's like the Ghost Pepper of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I would just pair it up, you know, I would make a traditional, like, Grass, Fire, Water core with it. Yeah. I mean, that's always just, like, a good core. It's a good starting point. I don't know what's in RU nowadays.
Let's see what's in RU. Oh, fun fact, Feraligatr is in RU. That sounds fun. Yeah, and then what else could we do? Iron Leafs is in RU.
Breloom's in RU.
Venusaur is in RU, as is Torterra. Ooh, all starters, Fire, Water, Grass core.
Why are all these fun Pokemon down here?
Because there are over 1,000 Pokemon now.
I know.
Get pushed lower and lower. Enamorous is in RU. What's going, like, come on now. Chestnut.
Hisuian Zoroark is down here.
Yeah. Slitherwing? Swampert, Galarian Zapdos. Yeah, you can definitely have a lot of fun in RU.
Man, there's a lot of good things down here, actually. I do recommend. Oh my gosh, the Paldean Tauros is down here too. Oh my gosh. Okay.
There's some good stuff in RU. Little did we know, RU might be where it's at.
RU is where it's at. Hisuian Typhlosion had a card too. It had a V and a V star. I guess it still has one because they haven't been rotated yet, but it's not very good. I wouldn't play it. There was, like, a Hisuian Typhlosion deck that was, like, floating around for, like, a hot second when Astral Radiance came out. Because it's all about putting damage counters on your opponent's Pokemon, but that Sableye kind of, like, killed that mechanic for everybody. Yeah, it's like three energy too. Like two psychic and a colorless hollow flame for 180. That's not very good. Three damage counters on your opponent's bench Pokemon anyway. You're like, who cares? And then its V-Star power is an attack for one psychic, Shimmering Star. If your opponent's active Pokemon has exactly four damage counters on it, that Pokemon is knocked out. Both Hisuian Typhlosion and also the Hisuian Decidueye cards both were all about like putting damage counters on things. Mm-hmm. And like this is just not good. You can get that same effect on like a Roaring Moon right now. Just no conditions.
And that has
like, you make the attack. Yeah, and
that
has plenty of support. So I wish Hisuian Typhlosion was good. It's not. In the TCG, at least. One day, maybe.
And that's okay.
Yeah, you can't get all W's, okay? You're not Charizard.
Yeah, I mean, Charizard's had plenty of L's as well.
Oh, so many L's, though. To make it good, they had to give it two Megas. That's the only reason it was good.
And change its type, like...
Yeah, that's the only reason it was good. And the Charizard that's good in the TCG still isn't a fire type.
That's what I was referring to, yeah.
Oh my gosh, yeah. All right, well, I don't have anything else to say about Hisuian Typhlosion. I don't know if either of you do either, but...
No, just that it has some cool lore, and you can look it up if you'd like.
Yeah.
It's got prettier flames.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's
very
true, too.
Pretty Pokemon.
Yeah.
Very pretty.
All right, well, with that, we're going to kick things on over to our mailbag.
It's mail time! Send in your emails.
Welcome to the mailbag. Our mailbag, as always, is brought to you by the fictional energy drink Green Tauros, the energy drink that gives you hooves.
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 And not to mention that this is part of the show where you can email us at pucklepodcast@gmail.com, and we might read your email on the show. We love hearing from you guys. I love hearing from you guys. Excited to see what you guys said. Last week, we asked you guys what your hot takes were. This elicited a reaction, and I enjoyed it. We're going to jump right on into it. Our first email this week is going to be from Tia, and Whimsicott's got this one.
I do. Tia's hot takes. Hey there, Puckles.
Ooh, spill the tea.
Puckles, P-U-C- I
Pucks, just Pucks.
Pucks, yep, Pucks. Happy New Year. Things have been busy for me, so I haven't sent much, not even my dragon list. All I know is that Gumi is number one. And since this is the year of the dragon, Pokemon Legends Charizard, we are probably getting a sequel to Evolving Skies too.
Actually, okay, they follow a pattern now in the TCG. Like, you can almost predict the sets. It's crazy. It's crazy. Yeah, there was Roaring Skies at the same time in the block as there was Roaring Skies. So I wouldn't be surprised if we got, or it was Roaring Skies and then Evolving Skies. So I wouldn't be surprised. Like, we're going to have this new set come out, and then the set after that.
Shining Skies.
Paldean Fates, which is just Shining Fates all over again. we're going to get to, I think the set after this next one will probably be essentially an Evolving Skies. But I digress. I apologize.
No problem. Tia says, I will be the one taking the L today because I will be discussing my hottest Pokemon takes. 1. The quality of the games will continue to be poor unless sales significantly drop. Pokemon is a rush product now, with Gen 10 already being worked on, and the games launching with major bugs and significant performance issues. This will not change since the sales are so high. That is,
they're not necessarily wrong.
I disagree with that, actually. Pokemon 1 talked about how they didn't want it to be bad anymore.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make sure it's not bad. They explicitly said this in an interview, like, in November. They also told us that they listened to, like, the community response at the same time. And, like, they know a lot of the criticism and backlash they're getting from fans.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to say, like, oh, Pokemon's too big to fail. I think if they put out multiple games in a row, like Scarlet and Violet with that performance, I think the brand gets devalued and it doesn't hit as hard as they would want it to hit in the future.
I do think it's too big to fail, but it's good that they're aspiring to be better.
I do think it's too big to fail, but it might, I don't know, it might start to get a bad reputation in certain circles that they probably don't want to have.
That's exactly what that's what I meant. I don't think I mean like Pokemon's gonna fail, but I do think that they'll Like, it's going to be one of those things where it's just like, oh, here's this little pocket of the internet, and they're not going to be able to grow into other areas because they've devalued the brand in that way. Like, they can still sell 24 million copies of a Pokemon game to suckers like me, but they won't be able to, like, do Pokemon Concierge and have people still respect it.
Yeah, I see what you mean. Two, if Pokemon launched in 2020, it would be a gacha-style game. I'm not talking about Pokemon Masters EX, but a full-fledged gacha-style monster collecting game.
Well, that's irrelevant because it isn't. Like, maybe.
Maybe. I don't know.
It's an interesting thought. Depends on, I suppose...
I guess I'm supposed to disagree with these because they're hot takes, but...
I don't know. It's like, this is such...
It's like, I agreed with the first one. I disagree with this one. Or it doesn't matter.
This is such a wildly different scenario.
Yeah.
That, so many things would have to be different for Pokemon to launch in 2020.
Would gacha style games exist without Pokemon? Probably, yeah, actually. Never mind. That's a dumb question.
Yeah, that's fine.
Three. Without Pokemon, the monster collecting or even card collecting genre would not take off.
I mean...
Not only saying this as a fan of Pokemon, but I don't think Digimon Monster Rancher and all that would become the mainstream face of monster collecting and battling as they're too niche.
I agree.
Okay, so this second part of the take, I agree.
The first part, card collecting, I think would be fine just because Magic was still on.
Magic.
It's existed long before Pokemon, yeah.
Magic's on the up and up. There's so many other. Yu-Gi-Oh! Probably would have been fine too. Yu-Gi-Oh! Really took off when there was a lull in the Pokemon trading card game as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there was a segment of time from, like, essentially, like, Gen 3 to Gen 5.
Mm-hmm.
Where not a lot of people were into the Pokemon card game.
Incidentally, that's probably when I was playing Yu-Gi-Oh! Instead of Pokemon.
It's not because of Yu-Gi-Oh! I think it's just because Pokemon cards weren't, like, the rule sets honestly weren't that refined as, like, they are today. And I think the game is much more balanced now than it was then. But yeah, I mean, Yu-Gi-Oh! Just came in at the right time and just took it. They like filled the gap of the lack of a trading card game, for kids. But monster collecting, I actually agree. Like, I think Pokemon definitely like built the monster collecting genre. I do agree with that.
Yes. Yeah. And Tia concludes, and for a fact, Pal World would not exist without Pokemon, because we all know their PAL designs, quote-unquote, are stolen from Pokemon and even fan-made designs. Still no concept art out, lol. That's all from me, Tia.
I mean, I don't even know that that's a hot take.
It's just fact. it's not numbered as a hot take. It's just a comment.
That tea is tepid. that's just true.
It's a comment on the third hot take. It's not numbered.
I don't know that I care enough to worry about it. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I don't worry about Pal World. It's fine.
It's like...
And there's nothing wrong also with taking influence from other things. Like, yeah.
My favorite thing, like in reference to building off other games, was when Breath of the Wild came out and saw massive success like it did. There were a lot of people going on about how Breath of the Wild just was taking things from other games. Because they did, like, the towers are essentially, you know, if you've played Assassin's Creed, like, you understand the towers. It's very, like, a lot of mechanics from Breath of the Wild were taken from other modern open world games, but Nintendo kind of spun it and made it their own and made it fit very naturally into the world. A lot of the developers actually came out and were just like, well, no, actually Nintendo, or, like, actually Legend of Zelda, like, inspired us to do what we did.
I think at some point you have to...
So Zelda can take whatever they want from us.
I think at some point you have to say, okay, there is one way to handle this that is objectively the best one. So it doesn't make sense for us to look for a way that's different and doesn't work as well just because someone else did something similar before.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
If you have an original idea and an existing idea makes it better, yeah.
It's like, if it's something very specific that is very, very signature of something, then I understand that it feels bad for something else to use it. But, you know, like, okay, you discover one piece at the map at a time because you go to a high place. That just makes sense. you know, it's just something that makes sense. And if you, like, if you go down that route at a certain point, you're just saying, oh, this game is copying this other game because you click things to interact with stuff. Like, you know, there are levels to this. So.
Well, all right. Well, let's move on. We have another email from Matthew. Hello, I'm a huge fan, following difference of opinion notwithstanding. For context, my perspective is that of someone who went from Gen 1 Blue as a small child to Gen 8 Sword, and as an adult after a lengthy hiatus, and who has since played multiple early and later generations, and I just agree strongly with what seems to be universal consensus that the Pokemon game should be made more difficult, or include multiple difficulty settings. The Pokemon games have gotten significantly easier. In Generations 1 and 2, significant grinding against wild Pokemon was required before you could think of taking on the next gym leader, to say nothing of the initial lack of XP share, which in the earliest forms wasn't terribly useful. This is Thatch inserting his opinion briefly. I don't think that grinding it makes Pokemon games harder. I think it makes them more tedious.
It makes them less fun. Yeah, I think one of the best trends in gaming is, like, moving away from grinding.
Exactly. And I think it's a necessity, actually, because think about it. Okay, so back then, how many Game Boy games did you own? 3? 4? And how many games can you play now for free? Like, you can't make your game boring or people will just not play it.
Even with grinding and being on a comparable level, battles were difficult and potion/effect cure items were essential. See, I'm okay with that. I think Pokemon battles should be hard. Granted, Gen 1 was also just, like, broken in 7 different ways at once in any battle.
It's the blueprint, you know.
And since money was in short supply, you had to be careful about what potions you used and when. Legendary Pokemon were hidden off the beaten path, and they were strong enough that catching them was something of a challenge. Even the humbly Wigglytuff took some doing, since Jigglypuff only had a 10% spawn rate on Route 3, and there were exactly the number of Moonstones in the game that were needed to get it, and other Moonstone using Pokemon to evolve. I don't know if that's a good thing, personally. I think infinite resources for evolution should be allowed. I think in early Pokemon, it was seen as something different, where it was just like a monster collecting game. PvP was actually, if you look at the history of Pokemon, PvP in Pokemon was kind of an afterthought. Miyamoto actually, like, went to Game Freak and was like, you have to let them do this. Like, these, that has to be in the game.
I mean, like, you're already connecting the games. It's a battling game in the story. You have to do it.
PvP in Gen 1 wasn't thought through. Like, the Moonstone thing happened because, one, they want to encourage trading, but also they just want you to have the same amount. And on the flip side of that, in Gen 1, you could also just get infinite fire, water, leaf, and thunderstones. So
yeah,
take that for what you will.
You could just buy them.
Yeah, you could buy them. The artificial scarcity of the Moonstone makes no sense. In current games, none of that is true. I have to look up the level of future gym leaders, since if I don't, there's a good chance I'll spend a nominal amount of time grinding and accidentally rock up several levels higher. With how damage calculation has changed and Pokemon species have proliferated, Pokemon will probably always have multiple Pokemon capable of knocking out the gym leaders in a couple of moves at most, and potentially the entire team, since the gyms are still type-based. Money is effectively infinite, and items are on the ground in abundance, and there's no concern about potion economy, and the latest generation's legendary Pokemon are all but given to you at the end of the game. I have, like, several comments about this, but I digress, because, like, these are all valid complaints, actually. The effect of all of this is to remove any sense of achievement or satisfaction for progressing in the game, and in the rare event that Nintendo has retained some older, difficult mechanic, it's likely been otherwise negated. Example, Haunter won't evolve into Gengar without being traded, making the latter's acquisition theoretically difficult, but in Gen 8, you can find Gengar wandering around the wild area. I do take issue with that. The wild area, like, fixed a lot of trade evolution problems, but there's, like, a lot to unpack in that paragraph. That paragraph's actually, like, filled with, like, a lot of very valid criticisms about modern Pokemon. I think, one, this is, like, an effect of Pokemon becoming, like, quote-unquote open world.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that modern Pokemon has shifted from you crafting a team of 6 Pokemon that you bond with throughout your playthrough to they want you to feel like you can just swap in and out with the new Pokemon that you catch?
Which I think is a good decision, frankly, because, like, what after you catch your 6, what's the point of catching anything if it's not that, you know?
No, I don't entirely disagree with it. I do think you lose something a little bit, like you lose the chance to bond with your team of 6 because your team, it now goes from 6 to, you know, 10 or 12 effectively, but maybe even more.
But there's also a lot more mechanics to quote-unquote bond, like, oh, you can have your cute little picnic moment.
No, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. I think this is just, I think things have just changed.
Take a selfie with them. Yeah, it's just evolved.
It's just things have changed very significantly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're going from like Gen 1 to Gen 8, like he has in this email.
Yeah, that's a big jump.
So like he hasn't seen like the slow progression like we have. So I mean, I completely understand what he's saying. I do recommend to him Tamahiro on YouTube, formerly Tamashi Hiroka. She has very similar opinions. So, I mean, go watch one of her video essays. She'll explain it. I actually like very much enjoy her stuff. I agree with a lot of her opinions. At this point, the games provide almost no challenge, and an equal amount of thought and effort are required to beat them. Given earlier games were also for children, and they still sold like hotcakes, I don't think things like higher levels, slower leveling, less money, and difficult to acquire Pokemon would necessarily alienate massive chunks of the audience. But if Nintendo was concerned, with many other companies have been able to successfully implement multiple difficulty settings and make for radically different playing experiences. Even if no other changes were implemented, a second mode where 50% experience were awarded and gym trainer levels were 20% higher would be a marked improvement. But what would be, like, other than, like, making the game harder for yourself, what would be, like, why would you want to do that to yourself? I don't know. Like, I don't see a world where I'm just like, yes, I'm going to play on medium difficulty for less experience points for no gain, other than saying I did it on medium difficulty.
Just play Indigo Disc.
Yeah, no, the Indigo Disc is, like, fixes most of this, actually, in my opinion.
Just go play Indigo Disc.
The battles there are, like, a very good example.
Most of these concerns would actually be fixed by letting you turn off the experience share. Just one click. One click.
You're not wrong, and I don't know why they took that away. I do not know why they took that away.
I also think that, like, I still think they should do it. So, like, it's so easy. Give people a choice. I'm sure it's mechanically incredibly easy to, like, put an on-off switch on there. It was there before.
Yes.
And we know that Pokemon's code just builds on top of itself infinitely. Still.
I think as of late, it's somewhat better, but I think it's somewhat better. I think they cleared out a lot of the old garbage.
I think it all goes back to what I was saying before, is that a game you need to sell in 2024 needs to be a game of a certain sort, because people have a shorter attention span, a lot of options, and yeah, a lot of options, and...
Thank you, social media.
I don't even know if it's a social media thing.
I think it has a lot to do with that. That has, yes, is responsible for shorter attention spans.
Yeah, I think we just have a lot more going on, too, in general, as people.
I think Pokemon essentially said, okay, most of our target audience will appreciate an easier game. And they said, okay, we will still sell it to people who want to challenge themselves, because A, it's Pokemon, and B, they can, I don't know, Nuzlocke the game, go through it with one Pokemon. They can do whatever they want. And, you know, they just make the base game that is for everyone. And yeah, it's not perfect for everyone, but it's usable by everyone. And they, again, sell like hotcakes. So it's reasonable when you think about it.
Yeah, I think it's definitely like a cost reward. I do think some of the Pokemon are still hard to catch. It's just a lot different now. Things are just very different now than they were, you know, 25 years ago. Like, if you even look at like the amount of things that kids have to do nowadays, like when I was, you know, when Pokemon first came out, like Red and Blue, like the electronic device I owned was my Game Boy. And you look like a kid now. That kid probably has access to an iPad, probably the Nintendo Switch.
Mm-hmm. Possibly a phone.
Possibly even just like a regular PC.
I don't know if it's the same over there, but...
Potentially a phone, yeah.
Oh, definitely a phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you have a better handle on this than I do, Sublime, that's for sure.
Yeah, like by the time you're in middle school, you almost assuredly have a phone.
When I was a kid, which is several years before you guys were kids, but not, you know, as many years in between when you guys were kids and when kids... these days are kids. So I had maybe one extracurricular activity after school. Like once or twice a week, I would do a sport or take dance lessons. And the rest of my free time was free time. Nowadays, like my boss has, I think he's 14 years old now, her son. And like, every single time I hear her say, okay, so he has guitar lessons and then he's going to karate and then he's, and I'm like, do these kids ever have free time these days?
Yeah, I know. I you're not wrong, because like I see a lot of that in my, a lot of my coworkers with their kids as well. And I definitely had extracurriculars.
Exactly, one or two, not like five, six.
Well, how frequent are they? I think frequency is something to question about them as well. Like,
no, you're exactly right. No, that does matter as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It feels a lot different nowadays. And maybe this is just like rose-colored glasses, right?
Yeah.
It's always very hard to do that, like, without bias, I feel like, to actually properly reflect.
Oh, definitely.
Either way, let me finish this email. This is like a green tourist badge email now. But because like, this is like very good discussion. This is, Matthew is inspired here. So I hope he doesn't take like any of our responding to him, like his criticism without his ability to respond is like anything harsh.
Well, you know, we agreed with a lot, too. So there you have it.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
True, that too.
And if nothing else, it would take about 5 seconds for Nintendo to bring back set battle mode, which was one of a very small number of design elements that provided challenge.
That should just be an option. I agree.
I don't know why they removed that in Gen 9.
If you want hard mode, just play set. Like, there you go.
Finally, while it's possible to impose your own rules to make the game more difficult, there's a reason difficulty settings exist and why a game is too easy, players complain. Self-imposed restraints are difficult to stick to, and players would rather be challenged without having too much to think of and implement challenges. I don't know what games, if any, y'all play beyond Pokemon, but I suspect you would agree that it wouldn't be unreasonable for gamers to complain if every game only had a casual slash explorer slash please don't hurt me mode, or perhaps you wouldn't, which would certainly be an interesting take.
Aww.
Thanks for reading. As may be clear, I spent some time thinking about this. Love the show. Y'all are the highlight of my week, and a new episode shows up in my feed. Well, thank you, Matthew. We appreciate you. And honestly,
this was an incredibly good email.
Matthew, you're the highlight of my hair.
Honestly, this was a very good email. Like,
yeah, thought-provoking, sure.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
We've had a lot of long emails before, but this one was a very good one that had a lot of meat on the bone. Like, this was a boneless wing, okay? It was all meat. Nothing there.
Oh, no. I got that marrow. That had marrow in it. Yeah.
Yeah.
We got one more.
Yeah, we have one more. So, thank you, Matthew. We've got one more from Mother Goose.
Thank you, Matthew. Come on, Mother Goose. All right. Hello, Thash and co-hosts. I stopped playing Pokemon for a while when I was in high school / college. I started playing again during 2020. And my first Pokemon game on the Switch was Shield. I loved that game. It was the first time I had seen Pokemon in the overworld. I loved all the outfit customizations, and I enjoyed doing the raid dens. I didn't mind the story at all, and I don't care about what the trees look like. It has become... You know what? Fair. It's a tree. Like, let it go.
No. Like, the tree thing... I feel like a lot of people who, like, look at the tree thing in Sword and Shield don't understand the reason the tree thing was brought up in Sword and Shield. It was that they, like... They just, like, really poorly explained Dexit, and a lot of people were upset.
It was a Dexit criticism, not a tree criticism.
Yeah, we're Pokemon fans.
Of course we're going to complain about anything related to Dexit.
Yeah, no, it's like we're Pokemon fans. Of course we don't care about the graphics. We don't care about the graphics. We only care about the graphics when you say you cut out 600 Pokemon because you said you were working on the graphics. That's the only...
It was a Dexit criticism, 100%. That's a very good point.
The tree wasn't about the graphics. It was about the fact that they...
It was more like calling them liars.
That's the only reason we cared about the tree. That is the only reason anybody cared about the tree in the Pokemon fandom. Nobody cared about the game looking that good. Just don't say you're making the game look good and then put that tree in it.
Yeah. It has become one of my favorite Pokemon games. I feel like Sword and Shield gets a lot of hate, and I personally just don't understand it. I don't know, you have to stick with the whole series to get it, I guess.
It felt very weak. It also felt a little flavorless after you played, like, Sun and Moon, and you realize that it's just Sun and Moon again.
Yeah, you know what? Like, Dexit will forever, like, influence the way I think of Sword and Shield.
You're not wrong. Like, you and I were very on the same page about Dexit when it happened.
It's always going to taint how I see that generation, unfortunately.
It's sandwiched between two way more interesting games.
Yes, that is true.
And way better stories. Like, I would say 7 and 9 have the strongest stories.
I agree with that.
My second hot take, I don't want traditional remakes of older games anymore. I did not enjoy playing BDSP. It has nothing to do with the chibi art style. That actually grew on me. And everything to do with the fact that I'm an adult playing through the game and not a kid anymore. I don't have hours of time to grind to make Pokemon stronger, and I already know what's going to happen in the story. Pokemon has built an amazing world with interesting characters and lots of lore. I think we should start revisiting regions and getting completely new stories, evil teams, and rivals there. It would be cool to visit an old region with the timeline set 30 years after the original games and have new Pokemon introduced to the ecosystem there. Maybe some gym leaders could retire and you battle them in the post-game. Legends Arceus was definitely refreshing, and I hope more games branch out and do something different with a familiar region. Prescient, yeah.
Oh, they just described Black and White 2.
Yes, Black and White 2 is exactly that. And it's, you know what? Gold and Silver, for that matter, is like a couple years after Red and, you know, so.
Legends Arceus is essentially the same thing too, right? Not after, but.
And I don't disagree. Like, I like when we build on what's already there.
No, you know, Pokemon, until very recently, has been very bad about leaning on prior IP that they've created. I've always been a big proponent of the idea that you could just make a new Pokemon game with no new Pokemon and just like an interesting region, just because the IP is so interesting. And I think it would be successful, right? Like if you made a Pokemon game, I mean, essentially what we got in Legends Arceus, right? Where you're just like, hey, here's.
Yeah. Give us like 10 new Pokemon and people would be happy.
No, like Legends Arceus is exactly what I've thought could happen with a Pokemon game for a very long time. You don't need that much new stuff, new Pokemon. You just need a new region because if your storytelling is good enough, which it was in Legends Arceus and even in Scarlet and Violet, especially in Scarlet and Violet, they've definitely like stepped up their storytelling. You can do a lot of things. Like you can get away, and I'm hoping they kind of do that because like we're at like 1,020 Pokemon now. I don't know that adding 100 every 3 years is sustainable.
I think it is. The limit does not exist.
I'm gonna die, and there's gonna be 7,000 Pokemon, and like it's just the way I feel right now. Like, but I do think they should, like, if they slowed down a little bit, I wouldn't be mad. But yeah, did we finish it? Did we?
Thanks for reading all of that, Mother Goose.
Yep.
There we go. Well, thank you, Mother Goose. Man, that was a good email too. But unfortunately, I think Matthew wins the day. Matthew, you got the Green Taurus badge, man. That was a good email. Really appreciate you taking the time to write all that up. Make it very thought-provoking, not just for yourself, but also for us. So I do really appreciate that. So thank you for that. If you would like to email us next week, this week we looked back on Legends Arceus. I would love to hear what you guys think about Legends Arceus. What were the best parts? What were the worst parts? Did you like the battle system? Maybe I'm in the wrong. Maybe you liked it for reasons and you think it should stay. I'd love to hear it. Please let me know. Or do you have an idea for a new battle system for the next one? Maybe Legends Unova has like a future/past one.
I really wish that inverse battles had taken off more.
Yeah, that would have been cool. But yeah, email us at PucklePodcast@gmail.com. If you want to keep up with us throughout the week, you can, of course, go to our Discord server at PuckleDiscord.com. You can catch up with us at Twitch at twitch.tv/ThePucklePodcast, where I'm streaming on Wednesdays and Claude's streaming sporadically. More egglock this week. I'm very excited. We only got through like the opening and got the team set up, like I talked about at the beginning. I'm so excited to actually like get through the playthrough. Every time we complete like a major mile mark in Violet, well, we're gonna hatch like 3 more eggs, just to expand the roster and maybe get rid of Klefki. I don't know.
I don't understand you. It's such a good Pokemon.
Anything to get rid of Klefki. I don't want to use it in a playthrough. I think in competitive, it's a good Pokemon.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. That's very fair now that you mention it. Yeah.
You, of course, can follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. You can follow us also over at YouTube at youtube.com/PucklePodcast. Maybe you're already listening to us there now. And of course, you can always help support the show either by going to Troll and Toad at trollandtoad.com. Paldean Fates is still over there. You can pick some up using code PucklePod5 at checkout to get yourself a 5% discount. Additionally, you can also help us out at Patreon at patreon.com/PucklePodcast, where we've got extra shows for you guys. We just released Game Corner this last week for the January backers. Though if you join now, you get access to all that back catalog as well. So if you feel like doing that and helping out the show, you can do that. Of course, we've also got t-shirts at the $20 tier. It's $20 tier. So if you want to get Puckle merch, that's the only way to do so right now. But yeah, I think that is that's everything we've got. Yeah, I've been Trainer Thatch.
I've been the Fluffiest Whimsicott.
And as always, I remain sublime.
And here in the Lavender Town Radio Tower, it's closing time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.